This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. If you listen real close over the next couple of months, as President-elect Biden gets set to take office, and afterward in particular, you're going to start hearing one word showing up in a lot of stories about this economy.
So austerity it's an old word. We get it from Greek.
Austerity is the word. Jessica Rett is professor of linguistics at UCLA.
It started out meaning bitter, harsh, rough, and that came to mean over the centuries, effectively severe self-discipline, simplicity, just an absence of fun stuff.
The reason you're hearing about it on this program, though?
There's a particular point at which the metaphor was extended to talk about budgets.
Exactly.
John Maynard Keynes, in an article in 1937, he says, "The boom, not the slump, is the right time for austerity at the Treasury."
And thus, a shorthand was born.
Austerity now, when we think about it in the policy sense, we think of it as reducing the budget deficit. That's the goal.
That's Laura Merling. She's an economist at the International Trade Union Confederation, where she studies the impact of austerity policies. The budget deficit in the year just ended, by the way, and remember, deficits are what we overspend in a single year, was $3.1 trillion, mostly because of coronavirus relief spending. You want to cut the deficit, get some austerity policies in place, you got to do some things.
A combination usually of spending cuts and maybe tax increases.
But usually it means government spending less with the goal of bringing down the government debt.
That second voice was J.W. Mason. He's a macroeconomist who teaches at John Jay College at the City University of New York. When you think of the word austerity in a budgetary sense in times like these, what do you think of?
Well, I think of the last decade, Kai.
And that third voice was Heather Boucher. She's president and CEO of the Washington Center for Equitable Growth. And the three of them together are going to help us understand why that word keeps coming up and why it matters.
What we saw after the Great Recession was the longest recovery in U.S. recorded history. And yet,
the recovery was very slow for most people. So we also see this increase in income inequality.
And I think it's pretty widely understood that that was in part because our federal stimulus was much too small and was taken away too soon.
Thank you. Thank you.
February 17th, 2009. President Obama had been in office less than a month.
The American Recovery and Reinvestment Act that I will sign today is the most sweeping economic recovery package in our history.
Initially, right after the crisis, there was this big stimulus.
Laura Merling, again, from the International Trade Union Confederation.
And, you know, all the banks were bailed out and some companies were bailed out. And then about 2 years later, around 2010, there was this push to now all of a sudden worry about the deficit and cut spending.
Yes, those bailouts were eventually paid back with interest. But remember what was going on right then. The Obama administration was trying to get the Affordable Care Act through Congress, and midterm elections were just around the corner.
He gets into the idea that, you know, the deficit is something that we should worry about, supposedly to, you know, win Republican support.
The 2010 midterm elections come and go. Democrats lose 6 seats in the Senate, 63 seats in the House, to Republicans who ran on the idea that government was too big and spending was too high. So a couple of months later, at the 2011 State of the Union,
every day families sacrifice to live within their means. They deserve a government that does the same.
Congressman Paul Ryan, not yet Speaker of the House, but then the chairman of the House Budget Committee, gave the Republican response.
Endless borrowing is not a strategy. Spending cuts have to come first.
And they did. Cuts to spending on education, the Defense Department, community action programs, and state and local governments still recovering from the recession.
And that, it's widely understood now, really deepened the recession and made the recovery much slower than it otherwise would have been.
So when you say austerity, I think of how much lower family incomes were prior to the pandemic than they needed to be.
But look, if I'm a citizen of this economy trying to get by in difficult times and I don't have as much money coming in as I used to and I have to tighten my belt, why should the federal government not have to do the same thing?
Because it doesn't – it the way that the federal government works is not the same way that a family budget works. The federal government can borrow. And right now, interest rates are at historic lows, and they have been for quite some time. And that means that the cost of paying back any borrowing we do today will be much lower because of these low interest rates. And we can put that money to good use getting people back to work.
J.W. Mason from John Jay College has a real good analogy here.
Economic downturns are a situation when it's a little bit like having to turn into a skid. You know, if your car is skidding, your first instinct is to pull the wheel the other way, and then you just lose traction and fly off the road. What you have to do is turn in the direction you're skidding to get back control, and then you can then get around the direction you want to go.
So if the economy loses 22 million jobs in a couple of months, like it did this spring,
our instincts say if taxes are falling, if the economy is slowing, we should tighten our belts. We should do more with less. We should figure out how to cut back to the essentials. But that, when you're the government, you have to be willing to actually do something that seems a little crazy, just like turning into a skid, which is when your tax revenue is falling, you need to pick up the spending.
Which is what Fed Chair Jay Powell has been saying this whole time.
This is the time to use the great fiscal power of the United States to do what we can to support the economy and try to get through this with as little damage to the longer-run productive capacity of the economy as possible.
Why does austerity keep coming up? I mean, it's cyclical, practically.
It's an interesting question. I think that it is cyclical politically more than anything else. There's a lot of politicians who talk about austerity when the other party is in power.
And they see a situation where tax revenues are falling and where there's a sort of economic crisis as an opportunity to push that agenda that they supported anyway.
Yes, Congress and the White House did spend more than $2 trillion to keep this economy functioning when they passed the CARES Act back in March. Since then, though, not a dime due entirely to Senate Republicans, hence 7 minutes on the radio today about austerity. And as if to make the point of this story, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell has been firm that what is needed now isn't the $1.8 to $2 trillion that House Democrats and the White House have agreed to, but something closer to $500 billion. Thanks again to J.W. Mason at John Jay College, Heather Boucher at the Washington Center for Equitable Growth, and Laura Merling at the International Trade Union Confederation.